The call is now recorded. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Louise. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is a jazz call on the 9th of September. And on the line, we have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdonor, Tijani Benjamin, Carlos Aguirre, Alan Greenberg, and we have apologies from Alex Kukuru and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. For staff, we have Carla Valente, Seth Green, Rob Hogarth, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jerry. And the noise that we are hearing on the line is unfortunately coming from Carlton's line, the operator tells me. May I remind you to say your name before speaking for the transcription purposes, please? And thank you very much, Rafik, and forgive me for having interrupted you. It's now over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. No problem. Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining today's call. I think we are in the final milestone to finalize our report today. Seth already sent the agenda, and we are going to follow that, and hopefully to end in time. If we go very quickly through the comments. So just I want to remind people that we are at the stage to finalize the report and to clarify about the consensus level, not really for to raise new issues or so I hope that so we expect cooperation from everybody. And let's start. Okay, Seth, can you introduce the first, I think, the comments?
Thank you very much, Rafik. As Rafik mentioned, this is Seth Green for the record. The link is in the chat. And I believe, Rob, would you like to start with the comments?
Yes, Seth, thank you. This is Rob Hogarth for the record. Good news, Rafik and Carlton, is that I think there's only 6 substantive comments that have been raised or that have yet to be resolved through the various drafting discussions. So I think we can go through those fairly quickly, depending upon working group member comments. So I'll get started on them. For those of you looking at the document, I'm going to be operating off the clean version, but I also have a red line version that I'm referencing if folks have questions. The first one that we needed to resolve from an editorial perspective where we had questions was on page 17, paragraph 33, and the section is entitled Auctions. The question that I ask in the comment, that is comment 2, refers to this sentence. Though the quantity of these funds is unknown, and such funds would certainly not be available for the payment of fees in the 2012-2013 rounds, auction-based funding might be available. And then the sentence continues. The query we raised as editors was, is the payment of fees the consensus working group position, or does the group want to substitute payment of fees with the term financial support of qualified candidates? Does anyone have a perspective on that? It seemed to me that payment of fees was not going to be the sole result of the auction proceeds that were going to be collected, but that it was going to be to pay for additional things. And so that's why I was asking for clarification there.
Hi, this is Evan. Sorry, I'm not on Adobe Connect.
Okay, Evan, go ahead, but we have also Avery in the queue.
Oh, if Avery was first, I'll see. Go ahead, Avery.
Okay, thanks. This is Avery. I think when it was first written, certainly payment of fees was the notion. However, there is the whole notion, and the wording might not be right, there is the whole notion there that the auction, and I think that's why it's sort of ambiguous, that the auction fees are part of what allow the reduction in fees. But I think your phrase, you know, for the support of or the financial support of applicants may be just as accurate and a cover-all, you know. But the point is that one of the mechanisms that we're positing to allow the reduction of fees is the known future existence of auction funds. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Evan?
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to sort of, I suspected Avery was going to say something like that, and I just wanted to sort of expand onto that. When the fund was first envisioned and put out, it was thought of as that would be the way that applicants were going to reduce fees. In our document, we are advocating for an across-the-board fee reduction, not an arbitrary one that's judged on a case-by-case basis. So all of a sudden, the use of auction funds to directly offset, to go into the pool to be used to offset fees is no longer an issue if we're advocating a fee reduction. So we basically have one of two ways to go, and it was unclear to me which direction. One that Avery was suggesting is that it's okay, as far as we're concerned, that auction fees go back into ICANN general revenues to compensate for the fact that they're going to do an across-the-board fee reduction. And the other possibility is that the fee reduction remains, but auction proceeds go into the fund that's used to fund non-fee-based costs from the applicants. Rob, am I clear, or?
That's a helpful sort of context, Evan, but I think just in the very pure editing mode here, I'm purely interested in whether payment of fees is broad enough for your guys' concern here, or whether you want to modify that phrase.
If in the specific case of what you're asking for, I think it needs modification, because if we're advocating reduction in fees, then we can't just sort of demand that the auction funds are going to go that way. So I agree with you about broadening the wording.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Rob. We have Alan.
Yeah, I was going to say, clean and simple, in answer to Rob, the change he's suggesting is the way it should be made. I've heard no argument why we shouldn't use a broad statement at this point, and some why what's there is incorrect. So yes, change it in my mind.
Rafiq, are you prepared to declare consensus on that edit, and we can go to the next one?
Yep.
Yeah, I think no objection either in the Adobe Connect or people speaking, so I guess we have consensus here.
Then we can
move to the next comment. Hopefully that you can introduce it.
Yes, sir. The next one is on page 22, paragraph 42 in the document I'm looking at. Right now, it's almost just a fragment of what the previous text that had been there due to various edits. That section or paragraph reads, "This does not exclude that donors may elect to make larger grants or contributions directly to the ICANN Created Foundation, notably reducing their grant-making costs." The comment that I reflect in the document is, given other adjustments to the document, this paragraph does not appear to have any remaining use, and I flagged it as a candidate for deletion. So the question for you all would be, is it okay to just delete this sentence?
Sharon?
Thank you, Cheryl Langdon, off the record. Yes, I think it is okay to delete this sentence. but I'd also like to ask, have you done that cross-checking throughout all of the document? Will we be able to cover all of these orphans off tonight? Just wondering how much we will have to go through in what speed, Rob?
This is now number two of only six substantive questions or comments that I had for
okay.
you all, so yes.
Terrific. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Alan?
If I read this correctly, and it's still early morning for me, this says we cannot forbid, we will not forbid an external organization from using their money in however they want. I can't see a scenario where we could forbid them from doing this.
That's exactly what I see, Alan.
So I think that sentence has to go because it doesn't make any sense. And I'll add one other comment not related specifically to this. Rob, you said you're using the document that the link is posted in the chat. Your page numbers are off by several from the one I'm looking at when I follow that link.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure why, but just to note that.
Cheryl here. The same on mine. I think it just depends on what system we've opened it under. I'm using an Open Office. I don't know what Rob's using.
I'm using Word, but nevertheless, I'm just noting that.
This is Rob. That just underscores the brilliance of someone's
right.
suggestion to number the paragraphs.
Thank you. That's just Mrs. Boretta. All right. Cheers.
Someone is talking privately, and we can hear them.
Yeah, Rafiq Carlton, is that okay for us to move to the next one? Is there no objections to deleting that?
Yeah, we will follow that way. So if people have any objections, they should speak. Otherwise, we will move. So we can wait a few seconds, but I don't see any objection or people who want to speak. And then, yes, we can move to the next comment, sir.
Thank you. The next one is not a flagged comment, but it's something that stems from the discussion on the last call, and I think this is a query for you, Carlton. During the last call, we had a discussion about the IPv6 support section and Michaela's objections to that language. I believe that you had said that you were, after some subsequent edits that the working group did, that you might try to reach out to Michaela and find out whether those edits have satisfied his concerns. So the first question would be whether you were successful in doing that. Absent that, then the question would be, how do you want to handle the IPv6 support section? We didn't make edits or changes to it of any substantive note, and so the result there is the language generally remains. If I recall correctly, the substantive changes that the working group pointed out were in the executive summary that softened the IPv6 support language, but we didn't substantively change the text here.
Rob, I didn't get a chance to get through to Michaela, so I am thinking that we are going to go with what we have now.
Okay. That's all I had on that section, but I wanted to make sure that we flagged that for you all. The next item is my page 33, and it's the item that Andrew referenced in his email yesterday or the day before. The paragraph, Andrew, that you said in your note was 66, I have it in the version I'm looking at is 67, and it's the section entitled Service in the Public Interest, and the specific paragraph is a sub-bullet of 67B. It's actually the fourth or the last bullet right before subsection C. And this was the paragraph and the concept that we've revisited on several occasions with respect to the bundling issue. And Andrew, I'm the one responsible for your consternation. What I tried to do was blend some of the comments that various working group members had made on the last call, and I think my error may have been writing or suggesting the text the working group agreed and substituting that for the previous text. What I'd like to do just real briefly is read what was in before to see if, you know, just so that everybody's clear what was in there before and then what I changed. The previous version of the paragraph read, to address the potential needs of these groups, strong support but with significant opposition has been expressed in the working group discussions for the concept of bundling. And then there's the dash and the sentence continues. I substituted or inserted the words, the working group agreed not to consider the concept of bundling in this program. So, Andrew, I'll give you the floor to see if we should just, in your view, back out that change or whether you want some additional or have some additional comments on this paragraph.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This is Andrew for the transcript. Look, I recognize that this is an area where there is difference of opinion within the working group, and I understand that. I'm comfortable with it. We do not need to agree on everything. But the new language as it is just doesn't reflect the 18 months that we've spent on this issue. There has been, as it was originally written, there is substantial support and substantial disagreement, and I think that's what should be in the final document. The fact that there are some people that believe that the proposed GAC-ALAC language changes the validity of this or the necessity for it is certainly something that we can mention if we want to, but to take it out or to change it in the way that you have, that just doesn't really reflect the work that's been done. I respect that it's a desire to try to bring everybody, you know, to come to closure on it, but that didn't work for me.
So your proposal would be to back out that.
Exactly. That leave it as it is. Leave it as it was, excuse me. Which I might add is language we've had in the document for quite some time.
Rafiq, I'm not seeing any hands raised on this issue.
I have my hand up, but somebody turned me into a microphone.
Probably, I'm not sure what it is, but it's not a hand in the Adobe Connect, but yes, you can speak.
Right, well, it was a hand, but somebody must have turned it to a microphone, but it wasn't me, because I don't have that power. Thank you, this is Avery. I understand Andrew's consternation, however, and of course, agreed is not consensus based language. I do believe that there was at Group One an agreement, a consensus on not discussing this as part of the Jazz Working Group, that it was a general issue that went beyond Jazz and it was therefore not an issue for Jazz to tackle. There was a near consensus that in any case we shouldn't be arguing to do bundling. There was always some support, not strong support, some support from Andrew and maybe one other who persisted in keeping the issue alive and having the group talk about it, but the group never changed its view that this was a general issue, not a Jazz issue, and not something. So I think the proper language is there was consensus that this was not a Jazz Working Group issue. There was near consensus not supporting bundling, but there was some support for bundling. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery, for clarifying your point of view about the level of consensus.
Rafiq, a point of order, it's Alan Greenberg. Can whoever is on staff or whoever is the host who's changing hands to microphones, please do not do that. It you lose the speaker order, among other things. Thank you.
Hey.
Okay, noted, Alan. But no more change. It wasn't me anyway.
It was someone who did it after I requested in the chat not to.
Okay.
Thank you.
And my status should be cleared because I was just trying to clear my status. I don't have a hand up at the moment, and I don't deserve a microphone.
Okay, Avery. We'll fix that, and we go to Andrew. Andrew, please go ahead.
Thank you. Avery, I'm going to respectfully disagree 100% with your characterization of the situation. I don't believe, I think there was discussion on a number of occasions as far back as when we had our conference call during the Lithuania IGF about whether or not this was on mission or off mission for Jazz. And that issue has been debated ad nauseum, and we continued to keep this as an active pursuit. We had a working subgroup around it. So your characterization of it as being consensus that this was not a part of the Jazz mandate, I just don't think is true. I don't think it fits what we've seen, and if that were the case, then we wouldn't have had a working group. And it wasn't just me participating in a working group. Raman John participated, Eric participated, we had a number of participants and a number of long conversations about this issue. Certainly it is one on which we disagree, and that's fine, and I'm not suggesting that my opinion is necessarily the majority opinion even, but to characterize it as you do, I just don't think it's accurate. I'm going to quote from last week's chat, which I had the privilege of reading, and in it which you said, I agree that it's important that all minority opinions be given their due. The legitimacy of the effort demands it. Look, the truth is we did discuss this issue. A lot of people, including a lot of senior people in this working group and senior people in the ICANN community, support this concept and think that it has a place in Jazz, and all I want is that acknowledgement. Does not need to be the majority opinion, but I think that that's historically accurate. Thank you.
Okay, we have Dijen in the queue. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, Andrew, you know very well from the beginning I told you I support your effort for reducing the price of multiple scripts for a single string, but not inside the Jazz, because the Jazz is here to support the needy applicant, not to encourage multiple languages. Second point, the work team that was set up was for the IDN scripts. It wasn't set for the bundling. So there is no, we never set a working group for the bundling. It was only for the IDN. Last thing, we always said in the working group, they are, in fact, even the last version that just changed said that there wasn't consensus about the bundling. There was never consensus about bundling. So I am okay with a minority report or a minority opinion inside the report. It is your right, and I put it in my draft. But to say that the working group accept or support or there is support for the bundling, no, there is not support for the bundling. There is almost, I will say, a consensus about not supporting the bundling, but there is a minority point of view that support the bundling. Thank you.
So Johnny, I'm not suggesting that it was a majority position. I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Okay, Andrew, I think Avery wants to intervene again. Avery?
Sorry, I was muted. This is Avery. I first of all, at the time at which we had a consensus, and I'll maintain that this was not an issue that we were going to pursue, was while I was still chair of this group and such. But I'm fine with leaving that particular statement out. There was certainly near consensus, rough consensus, whatever we want to call it, that we were not going to put forward a proposal for bundling. There was always one or two voices that persisted in saying, yes, we must, and made that an issue. So, yes, it is true. We spent a lot of time talking about it, even after the group had come to a near consensus that we weren't one on one. I am not at all suggesting that some support for it be suppressed. I think some support for it should be listed, and I think that if those who are part with you of some support want to write a treatise on why this is the right thing to do, to attach to the report as a minority report, that should do so. Please don't say that I want to suppress minority opinion. What I am saying is it was never more than a minority opinion. And I don't understand the difference between senior members of this group and other members of your group of this group that you brought in earlier. I didn't know we had a senior and junior member organization. Thank you. I still have a microphone.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I respond to this?
Really quickly.
First of all, I think we're more or less in agreement. If everyone is content to leave the language as it was before, I'm content to move on from this. My point is not to suggest that this was a majority position. I think you guys know that. I used the wrong term when I talked about senior people. That's not what I intended. Some of the people who have been very deeply involved in terms of their time and effort over the course of many months is really what I was thinking about. But in any case, I don't think that there are senior or junior members of the group.
Okay. Yes, Robert, I guess you want to clarify to ask further a question. Bob?
Yes, thank you, Rafiq. I guess I was just trying to circle back to Andrew's point, which was, are you guys happy with just going back to the language before or not? It seemed to me that Aubrey's comments suggested that strong support but with significant opposition would need to be modified a little bit, perhaps with some different language. And if so, I just wanted to try to capture that. Aubrey, you had a really good 3-point bullets. I don't know if Andrew agreed with that, but I think it was a little bit more detailed than just strong support but with significant opposition. But I guess the first question would be, is there agreement to go back to the former language that you had all been comfortable with, I think, up to the time that I'm the one who caused the problem for changing it and inserting that word agreed, which was my own ignorance of your previous 18 months of discussions?
Rob, I think we need to stick to use the formal language that we have about the level of consensus, if I'm not mistaken what you was asking for. Yes, this topic was discussed for a long time, but the problem that there was no real change. That's my point of view. There was no real change in the position of the members of the working group, and there was no real consensus about that issue. Okay. I'm not sure. Is Andrew and Avery want to speak, or because I still see the microphone?
I think the microphones are just stuck there. It seems
yeah,
when
we
they
can't
do
turn them
their,
off.
Yeah, and when they
I,
do
I, can't,
their
I can't figure a way to turn them off.
I think badge, staff have to turn them off.
Their badges indicating that these two people have spoken on much too much already, and other people.
I'm in. I agree.
No, I don't agree.
Okay, Rafiq, then to clarify, I will put back the former language, and I will delete that additional language that I added. There was an additional little edit there that said after the words underserved language script, I added the additional clarification as this was being obviated by the working group's fee reduction recommendation under the theory that both those edits contributed to the difficulty. I'll just go back and reinsert the words to address the potential needs of these groups. Strong support but with significant opposition has been expressed in the working group discussions for the concept of bundling, and delete the other stuff I added. Thank you. Rafiq,
okay.
Sorry, I don't follow
okay.
Well, Rob.
Yes, please, Rob, repeat what you said. What did you say? And just to see if people have no objection, so we can move on.
Sure. I will reread the entire bullet then to reflect the differences. It will take just 20 seconds here. The bullet will now read, to address the potential needs of these groups, strong support but with significant opposition has been expressed in the working group discussions for the concept of bundling, dash, dash, that is, reducing the application fee for support-approved candidates seeking multiple TLD strings in an underserved language script, period. New sentence. The recently submitted GAC/ALAC joint statement describes this concept as lowering fees, quote, for a string in multiple IDN scripts, particularly where simultaneous IDNs are required in countries of great linguistic diversity, period, close quote. End of paragraph. That would be what it would read based on this discussion.
Okay, I think we have a question from Tijani. Please go ahead. And we have
yes,
right.
Yes, I think it's absolutely wrong. There is not strong support with significant opposition to the principle of bundling. No, it is wrong. It's not right. There is a consensus. There is a consensus about not against the bundling, and there is a minority that advocate for the bundling. This is the reality.
Okay, just to clarify, there is a different level of consensus. So it's strong, full consensus. So it cannot be we cannot label just consensus. We need to clarify with in more clear way what is following the form. Okay, Carlton, I think. Yeah, Carlton?
Yes, can I just suggest that we make two separate bullets on that one? And make it. I don't like negatives. I really, like I would say, we would, leading with negatives. So if we could make two clear things, there's no consensus, and another bullet that says minority opinion, and deal with it that way, just to move along.
Okay, we have also Sintra and Evan the Q. So, Sintra?
Sintra said she was talking about something different, so Evan should go first if it's on this point.
Okay, Evan?
Okay. I'm wondering if a single word change might cool a lot of this down, and that is changing the word strong to some. To make it clear that there's some support for it, but not strong support. Would that be sufficient, at least right now, with where we're at, to be able to make people comfortable with this? Tijani is right, there is not strong support for this, but there is some support. Is changing the word strong to some, at least at this point in time, going to be sufficient to make this work?
I could go with that too.
Well, okay, we have a long queue now. Yes, Avery. Okay, I think Avery still has some problem to unmute herself. Avery?
Hey, I keep trying to be good in muting. Basically think that the correct language is that there is rough consensus against including bundling, but some support for including it, that those are the defined terms. I think it's stronger than strong support for not including. I think there's rough consensus against it. I realize that's negative language, but I think negative language is sometimes the only correct language. But there is continuing to be some support for including it, and I think that is But I do believe that there is at least rough consensus against it, and I think that should be said. Thank you. Going back on you.
Thank you, Avery. So we have Tijani, and then I'm not sure if Sintra want to speak about this issue or just another point, and then also we have Evan. So Tijani, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. I support what Avery said. We have to express in the report, there is a rough consensus, any kind of consensus about not considering the bundling. But there is an opposition, and we have to say it, there is a minority opinion for the bundling. So we have to express it. I am not an English speaker, so you are better than me, but we have to say that there is a consensus, any kind of consensus, not considering the bundling. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah.
Can I
Andrew.
Jump in?
Oh, okay. Are you going to speak about this topic or another other point? Because also we have Andrew.
But I also do have a list of small changes to make the language more precise that I would like to go back to a bit later, if it's okay.
You want to some rewording now? I think it's better than to, because if we are going to continue this session and then you propose some rewording, we just only going to extend the discussion. So maybe you go ahead now. It's better.
Okay. With regards to this point that Avery Tijani, Andrew, and Evan are speaking about, I agree that we should have both views for and against, but maybe we should suggest why the group was, you know, opposed to each other on this point specifically, so that really the reader can understand that, you know, the group wasn't just opposed for no reason, you know. So maybe the rationale behind both for and against. Okay, that was my point on this. But with regards to the document as a whole, do you want me to go through my changes at this point, or would you like to take Andrew's comment first?
Okay, Sintra. Okay, we have Andrew and then Rob. Yeah, Andrew.
Okay. I'm trying to get us to a final point. I propose that we go back to the original language, which we had been comfortable with for some time, and think that what we have now is we have some strong proponents and some strong opponents. If we wish to say that there was some support and some against, I'm comfortable with that, because that really reflects what the debate has been like throughout. And I'm trying to come up with language that would work with that. I'm not sure whether people want to include Cintra's explanations or not, but maybe more detail than we need at this stage. I don't know. But I'm happy to do that as well. I could probably live with Evan's language if we were to say that there's not consensus, but some support. I could probably live with that, but I'd like to see if we can move on from this.
Okay.
Rafik, just before Rob comes on, can I say this? This is Carlton. I really truly believe that the original language that was there was good enough at the time, and the work group decided it wasn't, so we changed to this. If we're going to go back to that second language, to the original language, the one we changed before now, I know some folks are going to be just as bothered, because that's why the change happened in the first place. Could we just agree that I hear that we are agreed in principle that there was, in using the consensus language for the bundling, is that there was some rough consensus against bundling, but a strong minority view for bundling? Is this the sense of the committee?
I don't think that that's historically accurate, Carlton.
Just I want to speak now to Andrew. Andrew, I think that one of the problems with the bundling issue that takes so much time since, I think, the beginning of this working group, so that I do think that you didn't like that there was some that strong opposition to this bundling idea.
and you kept I think advocating for that, which is I understand, but we are at the end of to finalize this report, and I do think there was no increase in the number of support of the bundling within the working group. So I would like really to ask you so that you accept that we have now this what we have. There was some even compromise that we went even from that you just to submit minority report to know that you can expect there was some strong support for the bundling. So I want really to ask you to just accept this language. And let's, I think we have Robert and then Evan. Rob?
Thank you, Rafiq.
Can I just say this? Sintra asked the question, was this a minority view in terms of the letter? I specifically referred this letter because I thought it would show a little bit more than a minority view in the community. That is, now I'm making a distinction between the community and this working group. And so the reference to the GAC-ALAC was intended to reinforce the value of this. And that is what I thought we got away with. And I am now at a loss to see if we took time to in actually bring in something from outside the community to make the point, without saying so, that this is not just a single minority view hairy-fairy, but this actually has some legs out of the community. It would have satisfied everybody. And what I'm hearing now, we're going back to the situation where we want to drop that. I think that would be that would not be sensible. I think you need to ensure that even though you have a minority view on this work group, the idea is broad and widespread in the community. That's what this was supposed to, that was intended to do. If it is difficult to accept that, then I am now thinking we have to make another move.
Okay, Rob?
Thank you. Let me suggest a compromise. Fortunately, this discussion gave me time that I'm not normally good at for drafting on the fly. So let me try it again. And I note there are a couple of places where we may do an Evan switch of the language. Let me reread again here. To address the potential needs of these groups, there was near consensus in the working group against making a proposal on bundling, dash, dash, that is reducing the application fee for support-approved candidates seeking multiple TLD strings in an underserved language script, period. There was, however, strong support in the working group for including the concept. Then, the recently submitted GAC-ALAC joint statement describes this concept as lowering fees for a string, blah, blah, blah. Does that help? I was trying to capture, Avery, sort of your concept, which was, you know, to lead with what the near consensus was, but then also to capture Andrew and, I believe, Carlton's point that there was strong minority support for including the concept. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. We have Tijani and Dan on the queue. Tijani, please go ahead.
Okay, two things. First, if you add strong minority support, I don't care. It is okay. But if you leave it like this, people will not understand. There is a rough consensus from a side and a strong support from the other side. So what is the point of view of the group? No, it doesn't work like this. Second point, I agree with Carlton that the point of view of the GAC with the ALAC is to strengthen the minority point of view, and that's why we put it in the report. We didn't remove it. So we have to express the point of view of the working group. That means a rough consensus for not considering the bundling, and some support for the bundling. And we put that the statement of the GAC and the ALAC, etc., etc., etc. So. It is a support. It is more support for the minority point of view. But we have to express the point of view of the working group, not the point of view of everyone, because we don't know if we go to another constituency in ICANN, perhaps we will have another point of view. So that's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Just to reply to Sintra, I think Tijani was trying to explain that the both wording have some contradiction. So that's my understanding. We have Alan and then Avery. Alan?
Yeah, I'm basically agreeing with Tijani's first point. The words that Rob proposed where it says strong support for and near consensus against is confusing. I think it's fine to say a strong minority report or strong minority support. The adjectives in front of consensus are the defined terms. I don't think strong support, weak support is one of the defined terms, and we can use it as long as we make sure it's clear. So I don't think it is inconsistent to say there is strong minority support or a minority strong support, whatever, in conjunction with near consensus against. I think that's reasonably clear to a reader. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Aubrey?
Yeah. I think that we have to differentiate between persistent support and strong support. I'm certainly fine with saying there was persistent minority support for including it. But I believe that if we went back to the first milestone report where the consensus was defined on whether to pursue this, we'll find that there was at least rough consensus, if not full consensus, for not considering it. And I don't think that we've ever, and that was done when there was a wide group of people. And one of the things that one has a lot of experience with, especially in working with working groups in places like IETF and whatever, is that one or two voices persistently arguing for something, even after there's rough consensus not to do it, does not change the consensus. And that's pretty much why I'm being as painful as I may be being, is because early in this process, a level of consensus was reached. There has been a persistent effort against it that remains to this day, and I want that to be expressed. It is a valid minority view, but that doesn't make it strong when you consider the size of the group. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Okay. So I think it's time to decide. We just have 80 minutes till the end of this call, as it's just 1 hour. Rob, you will speak later. So let me give you just 1 minute. I do think that there was a clear. We can discuss for a long time how is that level of consensus against bundling, but I think it's really strong. It was rough, and there was for bundling it was just really minority. Yeah, persistent and strong minority, but we think we need to find now a final wording, and I would like to go for rough consensus about against bundling and a strong minority about it. So, Rob?
Thank you, Rafiq. I was just about to read almost the exact same thing that you just said, with the only change that I'm a little confused about is whether it's strong or persistent. So let me read it first with your strong, and then see if Avery still has an objection or wants to substitute persistent. There was rough consensus in the working group against making a proposal on bundling. There was strong minority support in the working group for including the bundling concepts. So I guess the only difference between what you and Aubrey just said is whether we use strong or whether we use persistent in describing minority.
I prefer persistent, but it's up to the chairs, I think, at this point. They've heard the discussion. Let's end it.
Okay.
Or we can do what persistent says and include both. which is fairly accurate in my opinion.
Okay. Rob, can you? Rob, sorry, just can you repeat because I didn't hear it well. Please, can you repeat that?
Yes, sir. There was rough consensus in the working group against making a proposal on bundling. There was strong minority support in the working group for including the bundling concept.
Okay.
And of course, those will be separated by that, the definition of bundling. But I just wanted to reduce the discussion to just...
Read it one more time, do you mind? Sorry.
Sure. And do you want me to read the whole paragraph? Or just
the two operative parts.
There was rough consensus in the working group against making a proposal on bundling. There was strong minority support in the working group for including the bundling concept.
Okay.
Thank you. I think that was you, Andrew, the okay.
Yeah, but it's time to move on. It's too early in the day to want a beer.
Okay. Yeah, it's early in some region.
Yeah, fair enough. Apologies, Rafiq. I understand. Or late in the day.
Rafiq,
yes,
this is Rob. Sintra had a comment about, you know, going back and noting a number of specific word changes, which I think would be very helpful for us from just a drafting or editing perspective. What I'd like to do is, if we can, there are just two more relatively substantive but may be resolved in just a sentence or two of discussion. There are just two more left. So if I could do those first, and then we could visit Sintra's more detailed edits or grammatical changes, I'd appreciate that.
Okay,
next.
Okay. Yes, Sintra?
Oh. No.
Signed by me. No, let's go with Rob.
Great, thank you.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay, Rob.
The next one, Rafiq, is just in D. So we were just having a discussion about the last bullet point in B. We've resolved that. Two sections later, it's D. And I must confess, I went back through my notes, and I couldn't find whether we had resolved this, Alan, so I left it in here. In D, it says, sponsorship by nonprofit civil society and non-governmental organizations in a manner consistent with the organization's social service missions. And Alan's comment was, is sponsorship the proper word here? And Alan, did you have a suggestion for maybe changing that word, or
it's Alan. I vaguely remember that Avery had a comment which might have resolved it. I don't remember exactly what it was anymore now. And I'm not adamant about this. It's just that the word sponsorship in general is not the one we're using. But it's not big enough to worry about. No one's presuming that we're recommending going back to the model of 2004. So I don't think it's a big issue. If we have a better word, we should use it.
Great, thank you. Unless, Avery, you have a suggested word to change or someone else does, we'll leave it. And then, Rafiq, the last one is...
Yeah. Avery's had her raise her hand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Avery, please go ahead.
Unmute.
Yeah, I think she's playing with the mute thing. Avery?
This is Aubrey. I don't remember what word I suggested instead of supported, and maybe, you know, by the end of the meeting I'll have recalled it again. But I do agree with Alan that it rings an incorrect bell and makes people think of the STLDs. And since those are a named existing thing, we should probably avoid using that word. And if I can remember what I thought yesterday or the day before, I would tell you, and I'll think about it some more, and hopefully I'll find it.
How about advocated?
Sure. Proposed. Sure.
Okay.
So what is that? So what was your agreement then?
I'm advocate was what I suggested, and Avery agreed. I don't know what...
Oh,
Yeah, I think everybody
agrees. It says you're pro, and you're for it. You're willing to argue for it, but it's not the S word.
It'll be advocated.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rafiq, the last one, and Tijani, this may be actually directed to you, because this section was what we had cut and pasted from your very helpful edits on the last call. The paragraph is my 68 on page 35, and in particular I flagged subparagraph or subsection D. And the reason I did that is that I just wanted to clarify that, Tijani, when you moved the text over and we combined the two sections, this section was deleted. And the question I had, was that an intentional deletion or a typo? If it was intentional, I'm happy to take it out. I would note that the group approved in totality your movement of the text, and I just wanted to flag this for clarification.
Paragraph 69, you said?
68. It's under demonstrated financial capabilities and
okay.
need.
Okay.
It's 68.
68D is in dog.
Okay.
It disappeared in your edits, and I didn't have the benefits of a red line to know whether that was an intentional deletion. Or in your cutting and pasting, you just skipped over it.
This is the text of Eric.
Rob,
yes.
It's Alan. I can lend some light to this.
Sure. I mean, it's a binary. It's a binary decision: keep or go.
Yeah. And also, we changed the 45 to 47, and it was real only for the first. For the others, I don't know why we changed them to 47.
I can explain. In my case, when I saw 45s changed to 47, I just globally changed 45 to 47.
It's only for the fee evaluation fees. The first.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're happy to have this go back to 45?
I think so.
Okay.
You have dead air.
Okay, Avery? Yeah, Abby.
I didn't mean to have my hand up. Sorry.
Okay. So, Alan.
I did mean to have my hand up. On the 45 versus 47, we changed the fee reduction to 47 to be in line with the other one. I think Tijani is right. We didn't explicitly say change these. I can live with it either way. It doesn't make any difference. In terms of whether this paragraph should be missing or not, however. At my request, we had an exhaustive discussion last time on whether the 47,000 should be qualified as to what period of time, and the general consensus was to leave the period of time unstated. That implies to me that there was an agreement that the overall paragraph stays. Otherwise, why were we discussing it so much? So I think I'm presuming, based on the presence of that discussion last time, that no one was advocating removing the concept. Thank you.
Alan, this is Rob. Just to clarify that, your discussion during the last call was focused only on C, because C was the only paragraph that you were evaluating.
Yes.
Because that had been because D had been deleted,
yeah.
You weren't talking about D.
No, we in fact were, and I remember, because I remember explicitly saying that maybe the continuity one is one time, so that one doesn't need to be qualified.
Okay.
But my comment originally applied to both.
Okay.
And I recognize that it probably wasn't relevant in terms of continuity costs, because that was a one-time expense.
and but it still did apply to C, although we decided not to do anything about it. So there certainly was discussion that the that paragraph existed last time, and no one raised their hand and said, but we already deleted it. So I'm taking that as tacit agreement that we hadn't deleted it. So I may, I, of course, could be wrong.
Yes, that's what it was.
Okay. Sintra?
I wanted to continue with my edits, if it's okay.
Okay.
So just to close that, we're keeping paragraph D.
No, no, I have a comment on paragraph D.
Okay. Djani, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I remember now. I deleted it intentionally because I don't know if you remember, for the first milestone report, we proposed to reduce the financial instrument, the period to 6 months. And this milestone, in this final report, at the beginning we said that it will be, it should be meaningfully reduced, but we didn't say how or how much. Alan is right. He commented on the paragraph D on the wiki, not perhaps on the mailing list or on the wiki, I don't remember. But he commented on it and he said it is for the beginning or per year or what is this? And I think he's right, because we don't have to fix an amount of money for the continuity period, for continuity instrument. It depends on the regions. It depends on nobody can say the continuity instrument must be X dollar. So that's why I deleted it. I think that we spoke about it at the beginning, and if we want to detail it, we have to delete it there, not here.
Okay, Rob. Alan?
Yeah, I think Tijani is right. If one place we're saying reduce the period of time, which implicitly reduces the dollar amount, I think we should be consistent and say the same thing wherever it's applicable. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Rob?
Sounds like raging agreement to take it out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, that concludes the comments I had flagged. And
okay. So we went through all the comments. No more any substantive ones that we need to discuss?
Well, just now Sintra's comments going back.
Okay. Sintra?
Thank you so much. Okay. So I note that the page numbers are a bit off. Right, so it may take me some time to go through and refer to specifically where I want some corrections made. So right now, page 5, when you are talking about SARP.
Give us the paragraph number, Sintra.
Sorry, paragraph number.
It's the executive summary, Alan. There's no paragraph.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Part C. Right? Let me just go back to it. Sorry. Right. You say when the SARP rejects the support candidates, the SARP should that be should or should it be shall explain its reasons? Are we giving them an option to explain or not? Or shall they always explain their reasons?
Rob,
so I just want to suggest that should be changed to shall.
If I may, Rafiq?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much. The reason that the executive summary is all in the should sense is that the introduction, the first line or two, of it explains that this is simply a summary of the recommendations by the work group. So as recommendations, they're all should statements rather than future tense shall statements.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, in line 3 of C, right, you say was to improve its applications and reapply for support. Is this a reapplication or is this a fresh application for support? Is it a new application for support?
I think no. The sense is that it needs to be. You take the amendment, so you apply. You have the old one. There's something wrong with it. You augment it and you put it in again. It's just
okay,
a reapplication.
Good.
Yeah, this is saying iterations are okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Page 7.
That's assuming time allows.
Right. Number one, I just want to suggest that we decide what we want our acronym to be. Should it be JAS Working Group or Working Group? Because I don't want too many acronyms floating around, JAS Working Group and Working Group, either or. And also you have Support Program and ZESP. Oh, yeah. So should we just decide on one to make things simpler?
The WG here is always qualified by JAS, so it should be qualified by JAS. So wherever you see WG, we should put in the qualifier, JAS.
Okay. With regard to line 5, which says will be to provide financial and non-financial assistance, is this partial or full financial and non-financial assistance?
Not sure what you mean there.
The way where
are you?
Right?
Where are you, Sintra?
Line 5 of paragraph 1. The goal of the support program, or DESP, will be to provide financial and non-financial assistance. Are we referring to full financial and non-financial assistance, or full and or partial financial and non-financial assistance?
No, just financial and non-financial. We don't know what it's going to be yet.
So okay.
It's the evaluation that determines it, whether it's going to be full or partial.
Because the way this is written, it sounds like it's full. In my mind, it sounds like full support. So I think perhaps we should qualify it as being full and or partial. Or maybe just have that as a separate note that this will be decided.
It's Alan. This is an executive summary, and I think the statement is 100% accurate, and I don't think we need to qualify it at that point.
Okay.
We are talking about providing financial support, not definitive, complete financial support.
Complete, yeah. It isn't intended to be definitive here. This is why I'm saying that that only happens when you've gone through the process. We're just referencing support, financial and non-financial, here in this executive summary. It's the major ideas.
Okay. It's Alan. Can I comment on Cintra's previous statement that when I put my hand up? Yeah, regarding the acronym, the shorthand JAS Working Group or Working Group, in this report we are using the term varyingly. In most reports, when the term working group is used within a report, it is referring to the present working group, the one that wrote the report. So I would tend to leave what we have alone at this point. Global changes almost invariably cause problems. You know, if you do them en masse, you will inevitably change something you didn't mean to change. Time is short, and I think it's fine to say either JAS Working Group or Working Group implies that this working group, and leave it at that at this point. I would not advocate spending time on it, and without time on it, it's likely to introduce problems. So.
Well, the introduction also says JAS WG or WG, so it's here and after.
I'm agreeing that the wording there should be left and not tidied up to have just a single acronym.
Read that as a here and after. The legal documents, all
I did, but Cintra was advocating that we pick one
and change everything to be consistent. I'm saying
I'm not suggesting that at all.
At this point.
I am not suggesting that at all. I'm saying that it is qualified, and it, leave it at that.
Okay. Paragraph 3, which says line 4, it does not rely on any knowledge of the working group's earlier milestone report or second milestone report. I do find it, this is kind of confusing. I would prefer that instead of rely on, you say require. So it does not require. So you know it require from the reader's perspective, not that it doesn't rely on any knowledge of the working group's earlier work.
I actually disagree. I think it's the active tense, rely on, that is here. Require suggests that there is a formative kind of, you know, you go look it up and read it up. No. I don't think that's what the sense of this is saying here. Saying if you came into this from Mars, read it and take it for what it is.
When you say it, it is a document. The document does not rely on, so it does not build on any knowledge of the working
right.
group's earlier
right.
milestone report or second milestone report. Is that your meaning?
Right, yes.
It's Alan. Could I get in, please? I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah.
I'm the one who advocated putting words like this in somewhere, but I don't think they're relevant here at all. The suggestion to put something like this in was to follow a sentence, I don't know where it is now, to follow a sentence that says, this report builds on the recommendations or the conclusions of the milestone reports. And the way that sentence read, it might imply to some people that they needed to know exactly what was in the milestone reports and therefore had to go back and read them to understand the current report. So I advocated adding essentially a disclaimer saying, yes, it builds upon the previous ones, but does not require you to go back and read them. It stands alone. Somehow this sentence got transposed where it is now. I don't know if a previous sentence was deleted or this is a summary in the executive summary, which is taken out of context. I don't remember which. Maybe Rob or Seth can enlighten us. But I know I proposed those words explicitly to make sure the previous sentence didn't imply that you had to go back and find the other reports and read them quickly.
That's the point of it. If you parachuted out of Mars, you wouldn't have to. That
right.
was what was intended to.
Right,
to
but the sentence
here.
That it was the sentence that it was modifying is not in this paragraph. So I'm a little bit confused. Robert,
no, but in my opinion, this sentence states that this current document doesn't rely on any of the previous work done. It does not rely on any knowledge of the working group's earlier milestone report. I just want rely on change to require.
I don't really care about that.
Okay. So what does this sentence add?
Are editors offline at this point?
No, Alan, hi, this is Seth. Rafiq, I was actually just offline for a second. I know the issue, but the paragraph specifically is...
We're in paragraph 3 of the executive...
7.
Of the introduction?
Of the introduction, correct.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Alan.
Is this one you want? Okay.
And you're saying, Alan, that a sentence is now missing?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember if I made this comment in relation to the executive summary or text that was somewhere else in the body. But I know I made the comment that we should add this is stands alone to follow another sentence which said this report builds upon the conclusions of the milestone reports or some wording like that. And I was just... counteracting that, saying it builds upon them, but you don't need to go read them.
This is Andrew. Can I just give you a quick feedback from the floor, having listened to this now for a little while?
Sure.
I sense that we may be trying to solve a problem we don't need to, in the sense that your mentioning of it in the way that you do, I totally get and appreciate why you're trying to do it, but it left me more confused as, you know, trying to imagine myself as a first-time reader. Maybe we take out the references to the milestone report one way or the other, include them as annexes.
Andrew, you're not disagreeing. That was the point I raised, that I added these sentences because there was a prior sentence which now isn't there.
Okay, got it. Now you can understand why I'm confused.
I don't know why it was taken out or it was done in relation to a different part of the report. I can't remember at this point.
You can understand my confusion, though. Thank you.
Okay, guys. 20 minutes.
Come back and let me give you.
After the end of this call, the supposed end of this call. I think Avery wants to speak. Avery, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Avery. I assume I'm off mute. I guess I agree that with the point that we should say that this document builds on. I don't know that we need to say it stands alone, because I am actually not sure that it does stand alone. I think there's reasoning. You know, when Cintra mentioned previously in another comment that we needed to include the reasoning, that reasoning is included in the milestone reports but is not repeated here. And so, therefore, I actually think it's necessary to say it rests upon those, is based upon those, it goes further. I think giving references to them, including them in annexes or whatever, is probably a good idea. I'm not sure about the length of the document, if they're physically included as opposed to included by reference. But I think they're important, and it may be worth saying it builds upon those documents and the reasoning and arguments for many of the decisions listed in this document can be found in those documents. And so that both takes care of Cintra's notion that we really need to tell people the why, but it also takes care of the necessity of keeping this document a fairly clean one that gives the decisions and methods. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Seth?
Thank you very much, Rafiq. I'm wondering if I could just call the workgroup's attention to paragraph 4 right under it. That's actually where I believe we moved your sentence to that is now missing from paragraph 3, Alan. Does the workgroup think that paragraph 4 actually handles both Alan and Avery's points, or should paragraph 4 be changed?
It's Alan, yes. Correct. Thank you, Seth. The lead-in sentence of paragraph 4 was why I proposed what is now at the end of paragraph 3. So if anything, it should be moved down into paragraph 4. I'm not sure I can read it with full presence of mind right now, but my suggestion to add that the concept that is at the end of 3 was in reaction to the first sentence of 4.
It may just have been
put in the wrong place.
Sure. I think, Alan, what we did, and the work group might want us to put it back as you're suggesting, but we tried to do, as the editors, we tried to divide out the two ideas and just clarify it all by first making the point more strongly that this report can, in fact, be read alone and is meant to, and then as a secondary follow-up point in paragraph 4, add the point that, however, it does in fact build on the earlier reports.
I can certainly live with that. I may have introduced a complete red herring by doing that, by raising the issue of the origin of this. By the way, just with reference to what Avery said, I agree that much of what we're doing was created in the milestones and explained there. There are some things in the milestones that we reversed along the way. So I think we need to be a little bit careful about what we say about the milestone reports. Thank you.
This is Central. May I just say that even if we move it to paragraph 4, the meaning is still going to be the same. You're just saying the final report does not rely on any knowledge of the earlier documentation, which is not the case. What you're trying to say is the final report does not require from the reader any knowledge of the earlier report.
I can live with that.
So rely on needs to be changed to require. Because the document, the final report, is building from the earlier report, but it doesn't require from the reader to have knowledge of those earlier reports.
Thank you, Sintra. I think when people read a report, the last version, it's always the reference. Okay, I guess we talked a lot about this, and we need to move on. Seth? I'm not sure. I think Seth is he has his hand raised. You want to speak, Seth?
I apologize for speaking. No, thank you.
Okay. So, Sintra, do you still have some comments?
Yes, I do. Paragraph 9. Paragraph 9, you talk about, line 3. Enable support-approved candidates residing in developing economies. I'd like to advocate that we include registered and residing in developing countries or registered or, right? Because companies can't reside. Okay, so just to put in registered or residing, the last sentence of this doesn't read very clearly. It says there are 5 clear reasons for this determination. Should we say as follows and then make 10.9.1 suggested?
I think it's Alan. I think the style we adopted for this is to number paragraphs in pure sequential numbering, not to indicate the subservience of them. Too late to change that now, I think.
Yep. But okay. If that's the case, then if you look at it right, 11 falls under the first part, right?
Yeah, 11 is the second part of the first point. It may not be the best style, but it's the one we're using, and it's far too late, I think, to change the paragraph numbering style and the overall visual style of the document.
Okay. I want to suggest some rewording of paragraph 13, line 3, was since it says, since the internet is a global resource that belongs to all, I want to put in, and in keeping with I can't seem of one world, one internet. And then you can put in semicolon. Semicolon, the diversity, competition, and innovation, etc. Right?
This
so
is Rob. I'm sorry, Sintra, what paragraph are you in? This is Rob,
I'm
sorry.
I'm in paragraph 13, line 2.
13, thank you.
Cheryl here, Sintra. Why do we need to put the ICANN tagline in there?
I agree.
I see no advantage to it at all.
Okay. I just think it supports the first line more, better, right? But if you don't want it in, then at least after all, that should be
leave it alone.
A semicolon, not a comma.
Yep.
Okay, that's all the comments I had up to now, up to this point. That's as far as I got to, which was not fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Sintra. You still have any questions or clarification that you need? Yes, Shirit?
Thank you. It is actually a follow-on question from something that was raised while... Sorry, Cheryl Langdonell for the transcript record. While Cintra was making her edit suggestions, I was under the impression that prior to this going to a final document, that the paragraph numbers are removed. The paragraph numbers are simply a convention we are using during our editing process, that this is not going through in a document form like some legal documentation with paragraph numbers associated or line numbers associated with the text.
Okay, so it's more formatting suggestion. I agree with you, Cheryl, about that.
Yes, Cheryl.
Thank you.
So let's now more to make the wrap of what we did and to see if there is still anything to do, and so we can move on. Yeah, Rob?
Thank you, Rafiq. Cheryl and Carlton, if I can push back a little on that, with a document of this length and the fact that it's going to be translated into a number of non-English languages, my experience, at least with our, for example, our Geographic Regions Review working group, is that it has actually helped people throughout the process, translators, people who are reading the document and the rest in other languages, to maintain the paragraph numbering.
Alan, you want to speak about that?
Yes, I certainly do. I agree with Cheryl that this is, as I said to Cintra, this is not an optimal set of an optimal formatting. But I think it's really too late at this point to make that change. If the paragraph numbers give it some level of structure, without paragraph numbers, I think you really do have to go into numbering sections and subsections and things like that. And indenting or whatever the style is, you just can't have everything flat running through with the only difference being heading numbers. So I don't like it. It's too late. And in addition, I believe there is content within it which refers to other paragraph numbers which would have to be adjusted. I think it's just too late to do that at this point, and I can live with straight paragraph numbering as it stands right now. I mean, we already have some level of indenting. If you look at section 38, it has A, B, C, and other sections have sub-numbers like that. But there are other places where it would be needed if we don't have raw paragraph numbers, and I'm not sure that's something we want to require at this point. I agree it's not the way I'd like the report to look, but given the timing, I'm not sure we have a lot of other options. I won't speak to what I thought the intent was, because I don't think we thought that far ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Abby?
Yeah, hi. I guess I totally disagree. I love paragraph numbers. I think every final document that people are going to use as something to refer to should have paragraph numbers. I guess as a staff member at UN, all documents were numbered paragraphs, and it makes it so easy to know what you're talking about when you're talking about document content. So I strongly suggest we leave them and start thinking about doing them for every final document. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. I thought that Seth and Rob wanted to speak, but saw that Rob lowered his hand. Rob, do you still want to speak, or just can move to Seth? Seth?
Thank you very much, Rafiq. Seth, for the record. I actually just want to point out, Rob and I did consider actually both these arguments, pro and con, the paragraph numbers, and a compromise that we came up with that I think may serve the purposes on both sides is that in the final document, while we suggest that we keep the paragraph numbers for the reasons stated, we are going to, if it's all right with the work group, we're going to, what's the phrase, gray them out? You know, instead of having them be the same black text as the actual substance of the report, we're going to have them in light gray along the left-hand column. I think that might help some of those of you who do not like the idea of keeping them.
That'll help.
Hey, Anna?
Yeah, for the record, I love paragraph numbers. I just prefer structured ones where you can tell the structure of the report from the numbers and not just number them sequentially, you know, ignoring the structure. I agree completely with Avery that it helps immensely to be able to point to paragraphs by a number. I just happen to like the structure format better. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, yes, Seth?
Oh, I'm sorry, Rafi. No, my hand is down.
Okay. I guess we are ending with the discussion about the format. I'm not sure that's a good stand that we ended with any substantive issues, but anyway.
If we're down to formatting, we've done a good job.
Yes, definitely. Okay. So just we are now at 1 hour 36 minutes in this call. So I guess we reached the end. Yes, Robert.
Thank you. I just wanted to confirm how you would prefer for us to take the next steps, Rafiq. Our plan was to make the edits that had been expressed on this call, and then produce a clean final version that we will circulate to the list, and then we'll, you know, leave it to you, Rafiq and Carlton, I guess, as to how you want to proceed with circulating it with cover letters or things like that. I know that you've had some discussions with Carla about public comment process and things like that, but I'm talking just solely about the logistics of wrapping up the draft. We will have that document produced, if not later today, probably sometime over the weekend, that will circulate to all of you. And I'll let you define what the process will be from then, Rafiq. I'd also note that at the beginning of this call, probably before the recording, you and Carla were talking about firming up the date of the webinar, and you probably want to do that on this call as well. Thank you.
Thank you. So at least from the Genesis side, I need to submit the motion, and I think on Wednesday, and then it will be better to submit the report before that. So if you the clean version will be circulated in the weekend, it only leaves I guess Monday for really people to make comments, and if they find any typo or something, and just we can correct it easily, but not really to go into a substantive discussion. I'm not sure about the deadlines for the ARAC. Maybe Carlton can clarify that, so then we can submit in time the reports in order to have our shelting organization to approve the report, and then to get they should get the report before their respective calls. Yes, Alan.
Yeah, I was going to raise the issue that Rob already raised, but I'll support it. There are a number of GNSO counselors had suggested that the webinar was something that was imperative prior to the council meeting.
Yes.
And I haven't seen a date announced yet for it, and getting people to participate on such short notice is going to be rather problematic. We really have to set a firm date and time for it a while ago, and since we didn't, we cannot wait anymore. This is a really important issue. Thank you.
Yes, Alan, and we had discussion about that before the that recording starts with Carla. We section me and Carlton, we suggested the 13th a few days ago, but it's too late now. I guess we mostly we can organize next Friday, maybe the week after, to have enough time to publicize and also to prepare that webinar, the content of webinar, and to have the presenter. So maybe we can submit, so we have either next Friday or another day. We should be
I would point out that in general, and this work group is an exception, Fridays are an ICANN-free day, that we in general don't schedule meetings for ICANN on teleconference for ICANN on Fridays. And doing it on Friday, I think, reduces the number of people who are likely to attend.
So maybe it's a first time to hear about, because one of my first involvement in working group in ICANN was the call was always organized on Friday.
Okay.
So I am happy to hear that. So next time I will ask. No working group calls on Friday. Yes, Carla?
Hi. So what I hear is September 16, Friday. We will send invitations to SOs and ACs. I need to know who is going to speak so then I can communicate with this individual or, you know, individuals about the exact content, refine the PowerPoint, and so forth. Now, I'd like to remind you that the webinar will be recorded, so if somebody is not able to attend on the exact time and date that we set up, they can always review the recording. Of course, the recording doesn't allow for the Q&A, but still, it gives at least some access to what was said.
Okay. So maybe we'll, I think as co-chairs, we will be present. But we need people from the working group there, so maybe to see if there is some volunteers. Or we can nominate.
Can I volunteer Avery and Sherry Langdon Orr as speakers on this webinar?
No, you can't volunteer me.
Okay.
I think it's inappropriate, Cheryl, for the record, I think it's inappropriate when the ALAC is going to be considering the document for me to present the document.
No, I don't mean as a present the entire document, but as a supportive of the presentation, you know, chip in from time to time. That was what we were asking. Rafik's comment was that we could have some support from the working group.
This is Avery. I was ignoring the webinar. When is it?
16th.
Next Friday.
If the working group wants me to do something, I can. I was planning to ignore it, but...
Sorry, are we?
If the group wants me to do something, I can. But I guess by... Well, no, yeah, sure.
I think that
the group has to think that, you know, I'm able to express all the viewpoints fairly. And so, yeah.
Avery, let me tell you what my interest is, just so you know the background to it. We're going to present Rafik and I, but with matters of the funding and the foundations, which I think will draw some fairly, you know, extensive conversations, it might be useful to have your support, especially in that area. That's the thinking
okay.
behind.
Sure. Yeah. Now, yeah. The 16th, I can be available. Sure.
In fact, Avi, I think one of the first ideas that it's not really that the chairs to present, we more be there to maybe to moderate or to coordinate or to reply to some question, but it's mostly that we have people from the working group to reply for a specific topic. And so that's why to ask people who want to volunteer. So we can have more than two or three or four. Yeah, it's just we need to how to coordinate that and to dispatch the different topic because I guess we can expect a lot of questions.
Okay, thanks. In the best traditions of some army,
that was the intent, and I'll tell you why I also thought of Cheryl, and forgive me, Cheryl. The other part that I thought would probably have some controversy is the process, and I thought you might be very helpful there in terms of support. That was the reason.
If there is particular, Cheryl, for the record, if there are particular questions, then of course I will jump in, but I don't think it's appropriate to present. Now, I've heard two different approaches just in the last 5 minutes. One was for a presentation approach where Carla asked for presenters, and then the other was for a suggestion that you and Rafika's co-chair would simply act as moderators, and then other people are asked, you know, doing Q&A. I'm not quite sure who's actually going to run through a PowerPoint presentation at this point.
Okay. I think we're still with the chairs doing the PowerPoint presentation.
Well, that's exactly not what Rafik just said. So,
may I speak, please?
Confusion. Have you two discussed it and worked it out yet?
May I speak? I have my hand up.
Yes.
Thank you. I think that the proposal of Carlton for Avery is very good. Cheryl apologize, and that's okay. But I think that Alan can help.
That was my thank you to Janet. That was my alternative.
Yeah. So I think that the two presenters will be Avery and Alan. This is my proposal. Thank you.
Okay. I think it's not just to have presenter. It's more to have people who can answer the questions. So we need to organize that. I expect a lot of questions because the short of time.
That everyone of the group can answer questions.
Yeah.
But there is people who was on the group from the beginning till the end, and who contributed a lot. So they are better positioned to answer the question. I think so.
Okay.
That's exactly right, Tijani. That's part of the appeal to asking for that kind of structure, that support.
Okay. Okay, I'm seeing the suggestion from Carla. Carla, please go ahead.
So here's what I have so far. A webinar to take place on the 16th of September, which is next Friday. I'll take a look what is the better time, but maybe we use around the time that we have this working group's call. The presentation in PowerPoint, and Avery, I will draft a presentation and send it to you, you know, just for a kickstart. Carlton, Rafik, and other working group members would be present. I suggest we dedicate 30 to 45 minutes for Q&A. If we do the presentation 1 hour, at least 30 minutes for Q&A. If we do it more than 1 hour, then we could have more time for the Q&A. We must keep in mind that we might not have time to respond to all of the Q&A, and maybe members from the SOs and ACs will complain about the short notice and will have questions about the report, and we want the opportunity to ask questions. So we need to have an answer to them regarding. Is the answer that we will be conducting another session in Dakar going over the report in which we can discuss in more details any questions that they have? Maybe that's the answer.
Yes, Carla. Just the webinar is quite important because it will be before our shouting organization to make decisions. Dakar, it will be more to present to the community what we did in the report. So they are both important, but we need to focus now on this webinar, especially that we need approval from Genasso Council or avoid any defer of the decision in the next Genasso Council call.
the ILAC, Cheryl here, the ILAC call is only the following week. So the timetable works for both. But you also need both chartering organisations to consider it. So I know we seem to be focused on the GNSO and he'd wanted the webinar, but I would assume that ALAC and at large would also be attending the webinar. And it'll be an opportunity for them to, you know, we've got 15 ALAC people and we don't have all 15 of us involved in the work group. So it's going to be important for them to be able to be brought up to speed and have any deep diving into the details done as well.
Cheryl, I'm not saying that it's for GNS or ALAC, but there was some deadlines, and that's why I tried to explain.
And I'm answering you on the deadlines, making it clear that it suits the ALAC deadlines as well, which was a question, Rafiq, you asked earlier. Our meeting is on the last Tuesday of the month, and this dates suit those deadlines as well.
Yeah, but the only issue that that I was asking, because we are going to submit the report next week, and I need to submit motion on Wednesday, and the next GNSO council will be in 22nd, and there is a real risk that they will can defer the decision to approve the report if they couldn't find a response to answer to their questions. That's why also when I advocated for the delay for the deadline with the GNSO Council, one of the arguments was that we are going to organize a webinar to let all the constituency and stakeholder groups to ask their question about the report. So I'm not really in the competition between ALAC or GNSO.
I'm not suggesting that, Rafiq. I'm saying that the dates will suit the ALAC as well.
Okay,
and we'll be considering it in the 27th.
Yeah, we are all there. We are all on the same page.
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm misunderstanding.
We're on the same page. We're on the same page.
Okay, so... but one of the ideas, I think that Carla, in the beginning, they said that we should have two webinars, so to allow people from all around the world to attend. So I'm not sure about the time and how we can manage that. It will be in the same day, or we have 2 days. Maybe Glenn have more experience in organizing webinars, can give us some insight about that. Glenn?
Yes, Rafiq. I think that you're right. We should perhaps have two times. And in other webinars, what we do, we usually make an earlier time, say 12 UTC, and then a later time, 20 UTC.
10 UTC and 20 UTC.
About 12 UTC and 20 UTC, because sometimes 12 UTC, 11-12 UTC is very early for the Pacific region, but it covers a lot of other regions, and then the 20 UTC will cover the Pacific region well, and I think it's early for Australia, but it's probably not impossible. Is that right, Cheryl?
It's 6 a.m. for Australia, it's 4 a.m. for New Zealand, and it tends to be fairly unfriendly for Hong Kong as well. Which is 2 hours behind.
So we could perhaps make it a bit later than 20 UTC.
You check with Giza or Glenn, but I think we'll find that more Asia-Pacific time-friendly comes in at around the 2200. 2100,
okay.
Or 2200, and certainly at the 0500, 0600 works well in Asia-Pacific.
Okay.
Should you be suggesting the 22 UTC?
No, I'm just saying they're the times that work well for the broadest time zoning in Asia Pacific. Either that or at 05 or 05 or 0600 also works.
0, it will be 8 a.m. in Japan, so I guess it's 9 in Australia or something like that.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, well, we'll work with Carla on two dates, don't you think so, Carla? Two times.
I have it at 12 UTC and 22 UTC.
Yes, I think that should probably...
That's a nice split, and it certainly should cover most, yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and we run for about 1 hour? One hour and a half?
1 hour and a half, I guess. Yes, because it's not just presentation, I think, and we are going to ask people to attend those two. Maybe it's not on the same day, it's better, because it can be challenging. It's... What do you think? Not the same, not in all Friday, maybe to start one on Friday and one in Monday.
One Monday?
I think it's better.
Cheryl, for the record here, I don't know whether it is a different set of experiences, but I notice ISOC tends to do two time blocks on the 1 day for covering. If you are doing the 12 and 22 UTC, you probably need to then look carefully at which one you offer into Asia Pacific timing. If you
this is Aubrey. The 22
yes,
UTC on a Friday would be a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Yeah. Whereas if we did the 22 UTC on Sunday night, then it would be Monday. Or if we did it Monday night, it would be Tuesday. For me, I can't go any later than Tuesday because Wednesday I'm flying somewhere.
Yep. Yeah, so you just need to watch that you don't run into what's effectively a weekend in the Asia Pacific area.
Once you start taking days, 48 hours long, it takes much
easier. Mm-hmm.
So what about doing it on Thursday or Thursday night?
Thursday night?
Thursday, so 22 on Thursday and 12 on Friday?
Yeah.
Neither Olivia or, well, it's Olivia and I both have calls, and in fact some of your, I don't know how many of your counsellors in the GNSO are involved in the DSSA work group, but we meet every week at 2300 on Thursdays.
Yes, Julie, I am also on that call. Okay.
All right, forget it. Let's do it so that the 22 UTC ends up on Monday in Asia Pacific.
Okay.
How does that work for staff working at night on a Sunday in Marina Del Rey?
Going to have a meeting. This is Carla Avery. I'm going to have a meeting with the IT support today and check on their availability. What I want to make sure is that IT, I am available, of course, but I have to double-check with IT if they are available. If we could do Monday at 22 UTC, I think the chances are just higher for them to be available.
That makes sense, and it's nice that you are, of course, available, but it is your Sunday night.
Okay. I have also a remark. So maybe also the time, it will be really short for people to read the report. So maybe if we go for Monday, we give them enough time to read the report, to prepare, and then they can ask questions. So Monday can work, I think. It can be a good compromise. We have the I can staff to be available, I think, and also we just need to check if there is any working group have been calling that time. So what do you think? So I think we have the constraint that people need to read the report. So we cannot rush them to in just one few days to read it, and also to avoid any logistic problem.
Are you talking about Monday the 19th?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also give us enough time to prepare.
Because on Monday there is only the call, the DASA ops call, at 13 UTC.
13 that, UTC.
Yes, that's a DASA ops call, which everybody's not on. So that seems to be a fairly workable day from the GNSO schedule.
Okay, let's see. And for Alex?
It's fine.
Sure.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Okay. Well, I like this logistics discussion. Okay. So I guess we have...
This is Carla. Just to clarify, so on September 16th, which is next Friday, is in California time, is going to be 12 UTC, and on September 19th is going to be 22 UTC. Is that correct?
No, I would say, I think I would say to have both in the Monday.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you want both on Monday?
Yeah, the idea is that she explained that maybe the practice to have both two webinars the same day, and so I tried to explain that to allow us to have enough time to prepare, and also people to read the report and so on. So just to organize on Monday, and just to Glenn tried to check if there is any call. Will be ongoing at that time, so to avoid any overlapping.
Okay.
Okay.
Carly, if you could just send me a little note that I could send out to the groups still within a few hours today, that would help a lot too.
Yeah, I have a meeting with IT and some other people that help organizing webinars today in a few hours. So I'll finalize the details and then I'll send it to you. The only challenge is going to be that we're not going to have the presentation to send in advance to anyone. But I'm going to give just a short description that the webinar is really to present the final report and open for discussions and questions that people might have prior to considering the report.
Okay. So, okay, I think we should meet now here in one of the Pacific area, I guess it's more late in Australia now. So, any other business?
I have one question, Rafik. This is Carla. Are we going to hold a meeting next Tuesday? We still have to do the analysis for the second milestone report. We did a summary of the public comments, but we didn't do an analysis response. And I was wondering if we could do that.
Yeah. We need to start working in the public comment. So, we are going to have the report, I guess, in Monday or in the weekend, and people will reply in the, I guess, in the Monday. But hopefully, just to correct some type of formatting issues. But yes, we can start. For to reply to comments in Tuesday, and because also we are going to have questions in the webinar, and if we cannot reply to them during the webinar, we need to reply to them later. I'm just wondering if we should have a Friday call, because I guess we reached some level, I think, of I'm not sure burnout, but I think we really worked hard in the Friday, in the summer, and just we need to have short break. We have still things to do. So, let's go for to start the public comments in Tuesday. Carlton?
Yes, Rafik.
No objection? So, do you agree?
No objection at all.
Okay.
Cheryl here, can you note my apologies for the Tuesday? It's the CCNSO Council meeting and I need to attend that.
Thank you for joining us in all this late
call. You haven't learned to do two calls, one in each ear yet?
Sorry, Avery? What did you say?
Cheryl, why she hasn't learned to do two calls, one within each ear yet?
Well, I tell you what, there's times when I've wondered about that, Avery, but so far it does get a little bit difficult in two AC rooms. I've done two AC rooms at once, but not two actual teleconferences at once.
Cheryl, I have not politically correct question. Which is more fun, the CCNSO Council or the Jazz Working Group course?
No, I've actually been in the Jazz Working Group Adobe Connect rooms while the CCNSO Council's been on, but I doubt that you'll be doing a lot of Adobe Connect room work when you're going through the public comments.
Sorry, are we also thinking of having another meeting on the 16th on the Friday of that week, another Jazz meeting?
I was thinking that we should to cancel that call for Friday.
Cancel it. Okay. Thanks, Jesse.
Okay. I guess we reached the time to end this wonderful call. Thank you, everybody, for working hard. I think we can say that we did it towards the intensive summer. And thank you again, and see you on Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.